I don't know how many of you watch the news. I both recommend it and recommend that you don't, kind of simultaneously. You can stay in touch with the world, sort of, you know, if you would like. There's nothing wrong with that. Cutting it out is fine as well. It's depending upon the information you want to manage in your life. But the news of recent times has been unusually haunting, at least for me. You know, people listening to this down the road, there was a big plane crash with a lost plane, actually, with a large number of people aboard. And a ferry of South Korean kids that capsized. And, you know, this is, I guess people would say after a meditation class, the last thing you want to talk about. On the other hand, I haven't been able to really get it out of my mind when it decides to come in. And I think there's a reason this thing is so pervasive and so important. It's very hard to put yourself in the place of people experiencing the last moments of their life. It's really fascinating how our minds do not want to go there. We can only go so far and then we just turn away. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to think about it. The idea of actually putting yourself on that plane or in that ship, in a room with these people, and knowing as they do, that they're at the end of their lives, is so traumatic to the biological system of our body and to our minds, which spend their whole life looking everywhere but there. The panic-inducing aspect of really facing what these people faced is so overwhelmingly strong that almost nobody can look at it. And yet, it is the most real thing that happens to us in life. The most real thing is the confrontation with that moment, that absolute moment, where there's no more breath available. I can only tell you, my suspicion is you don't want to begin your spiritual life at that moment. You don't want to begin the journey to God or to truth or to reality in the last moments of your life. It's very late in the game. The mind doesn't know what to do, and it certainly doesn't know how to get out of the way. Trying to trust that moment, trying to hand your life over to something greater, trying to allow dissolution to take place is formidable. It's formidable even if you've been practicing it your entire life. Even Christ on the cross, and I've talked about this a lot in the past, didn't want to go there. Take this cup from my lips. And then his enormous experience of being forsaken, as I think most people would feel. And then the journey from forsaken into acceptance. And I've talked about this too, but this idea that somewhere in that awful, unavoidable suffering, there was forgiveness for the people who caused it. And then this remarkable moment of, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's a life's work. It's a life's work to get to that. And we're all obligated on some level to figure it out. You know, we spend a life in absolute distraction from and avoidance of that truth. And most of us can't be led there for any reason whatsoever. And yet there are certain meditations, Tibetans do this, where people sit in cemeteries. They sit on graves going, let me understand this. Let me come to grips with this truth, this awful, absolute truth. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried sitting in a place where that moment was trying to emerge. Something interesting happens. My Aunt Esther, not one of the great spiritual beings, but a really good soul and a good person, was drowning in Miami and described, as she was drowning in the ocean, something called rapture of the deep. She said she had never had an experience like it, but there was a moment where she realized she was not going to get another breath. There was a moment where she realized it was all over, and she felt a joy that she could not explain. A rapturous embrace of finality. And when they saved her, she kind of wondered why. I don't know how many of you have been in car accidents where it feels like everything slows down, and all of a sudden you think this may be it. And a very strange calm comes over you, something unexplainable, something like everything slows down to such a degree that there's a separation, if you will, of time and space, and you start to see through the makeup of what we call solidity and reality into something more unexplainable and remarkable. I had an operation a number of years ago and it didn't go well. And I ended up with a pulmonary embolism, and the doctors had to do these various things, all of which were life-threatening. And I remember lying in my hospital bed thinking, well, you know, I may have minutes left. And I also had this experience of being, wow, I have said everything I need to say to everyone I care about. Everyone I know who needs to know that I love them knows it. There is nothing unsaid. And the people to whom things are unsaid don't matter. They really didn't matter. People who needed to know knew, and I just went, okay. Of course, I survived. Here I am talking to you. But I cite these three moments because there's something I think that takes place once you pass the point of no return, the panic moment, the moment of total fear and confusion, a kind of parting of the curtain, and something comes for you. Is that a guarantee? Probably not. Do I believe it? Yes. I believe it primarily because I have been practicing dying for 50 years. It's called meditation. Meditation is sitting still, discovering the knots and the tensions of your life instilled upon you by your parents, by your birth experience, by your school teachers, by your peer groups, all of these things that kind of lock you in and tie you up into all these different forms of being, which are you. And then this meditation, which begins the unraveling of that, and the beginning to feel, oh, I can breathe outside of the confines of what I've been told I am and who I am. I can find a certain kind of release in my life, and I can feel a certain kind of unexpected joy, that there is more spaciousness within me than I might have imagined. And these chakra spaces inside us, which have a capacity to grow and open beyond the confines of the body, are indicative of a kind of largeness of being, a place of something beyond us, beyond the mind, beyond the concept of who we are, beyond our sort of daily experience. There is something bigger and better. What starts to happen as you start to meditate and find these incredible places is you start to feel, ooh, I want to be there. I want to live there. I don't want to live here. I want to live there. And so a lot of people start wanting to go into caves or meditate 12 hours a day or sit in these, you know, month-long retreats and just be able to stay there all the time. And if you do that, I've done some retreats, it gets just as tiresome. You start to feel, I can't meditate anymore. I've done it, you know, how much of this can I take? Or some people actually do feel, I mean, I saw them, they just feel like, I don't ever want to leave here. And then those who have to leave and go back to their families and their in-laws find the world kind of brings back the constrictions. So what you start to experience after years and years of meditating is the place you want to get to in your meditation is here, not there, here. You're not trying to get to something other. You're trying to see how that other is actually present right now. It's all in this very space that we sit in all the time. And discovering that is really, in the end, the, if you will, the goal of meditation. It's not to escape anything. It's to arrive at where you have always been and say yes. My experience in my own life and with people around me is that they're not here. People want to be present, but they don't have the muscle for it. And the muscle for being present is not a muscle of holding. It's exactly the opposite. The muscle of being present is the muscle of letting go. Just be here. The extraordinary thing is we are never anywhere but here, ever. Truly, this is where we are. Our minds are not the same. The minds can be anywhere. And we watch our minds, and they do this journeying all the time. They carp about things. They get caught up in sorts of minor dilemmas and frustrations and problems and old anxieties and old hatreds and future plans and possibilities. The mind is always in this extraordinary kind of working mode. It's like a computer that never turns off. And we get into this idea of the release from that is to be here now. So you want to force yourself into being here now. And it's a contraction, it's a constriction of like, okay, I'm here, I'm going to hold on, dear life. That's the absolute opposite of what's wanted. The absolute opposite. Trying to hold on to the now is the most absurd idea possible. Why would you try to hold on to being here now when in fact, no matter what you try to do, you're here now? That's where you are. There's nowhere else. You could not be anywhere else. Try as hard as you want. You can mentally go on what I call, you know, the train of consciousness. Your train of consciousness takes you to, I always call it, outer Siberia. And there you are for even a lifetime of journeying through outer Siberia. Why didn't my parents love me? Why didn't I do this? What happened? Endless and never, ever being where you are. I mean, where you are, unfortunately, is on a train ride to outer Siberia. And in truth, your body's sitting somewhere where it's rather calm and rather sweet. And what happens when you relax into the present is you discover what an amazing refuge it is. It is the ultimate refuge. It protects you from all of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. It allows you to just rest in the moment, and except for moments of real prolonged pain, which most of us are not experiencing right now, except for those moments of extremity, which will come, we are in a place of benign, sweet embrace. The moment is always just fine. Just fine. And when it hits that place where it's not just fine, where you're on a ship that's going down, where the water's pouring in, it's a whole other level of work. If ever there's a time for what I would call spiritual practice, that's it. How do I, at that moment, say yes? How do I, at that moment, reach out to my Maker and say, into thy hands I commend thy spirit? How do I do that? How do I find that path? Well, it takes a life's practice, really. Or maybe not. My Aunt Esther didn't have a life's practice, and she just went right there. It's a choice. I have a feeling that we're all blessed, and that when that moment comes, this extraordinary ground of being swells up and takes us in, just like a mother taking you into her arms. That's what I believe. So if that's true, why meditate? If you can get to the end of your life and this force will take you in and love you beyond understanding, thank you for being in the universe. Thank you for manifesting for the sake of the universe. If it takes you in this embrace, why meditate? Well, here's the only answer I have. Because it means you get a ride between now and whenever that may be in that embrace. You get to be loved even now. You get to be held in a place of, aha, I get it. Thy will be done. I am here to be one with what is. You start to get this amazing sense of awe and wonder and joy and appreciation and gratitude at the absolute amazement of this mystery that we are all part of. That's why. That's why you meditate, because you open the door to that. And why not do that? Why do you want to sit here and carp about your in-laws and your parents and the teacher who never recognized how wonderful you are and the kids who used to laugh at you and God knows what that keeps people caught in these dilemmas and dramas for their lives? Why do that when you have a choice to go, enough? And that really is why we sit. Because it presents an alternative. The alternative, honestly, isn't to get away from all that. The alternative is that if you just sit, that doesn't exist. It's not a problem. All of your suffering is because you can't keep your mind still. All of your suffering is because you're caught up in the bullshit of the past and the bullshit of the future. That's where suffering is. Suffering is what will be, would be, should be, could have been. All that stuff is where your mind gets you and wraps you into this tight knot. What happens when you meditate is you unravel the knot and you just sit here and you go, oh. And all that stuff still comes at you, but you go, I don't need it. You actually develop a mechanism. It's like that. And you just knock it away. Now some days it will come at you with full force. It will really come rushing at you, and it will take more than that. He'll take you sitting down and saying, help me. Please help me to surrender. And you really have to work. And you work your way out of your own distraction, out of your own delusion, back into what is. And what is fine. Always, always fine. This is what is. And I have friends who are going through real, real powerful dramas in their life, losing stuff and pain and all this stuff. And they keep saying their only refuge is not to go anywhere but in the moment. Just stay in the moment. And that's exactly what it is. It's the refuge. The moment is where you are safe. And you will never be anywhere but in the moment. Ever. Except if your mind is out of whack. And most minds are out of whack. So here's a practice. Take a breath into your heart and you ask inside for help to surrender. And then you deepen it by bringing that into your belly and you just sit and you say, I want to let go. Please help me. And amazingly, there is a power at work that will help you. That's what it's here for. It's here literally for everyone. Anyone who wants it and asks for it will get it. Sometimes the only time they ask is when the boat's going down. It's the only time. And, you know, better to ask at that moment than not. But I'm telling you, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait for the boat to go down. The boat will go down. You may have a different various rides on that. You may just find yourself drifting off into the eternity of your life. You may find yourself drowning or burning or God knows what, going out of here. We don't know how that's going to work. All I know is when that moment comes, there's a part of you that you would like to be able to say, one, yes, and two, help me. So we're all on this ride together. We all are here to help each other figure it out if we want, or we can make each other miserable. It's kind of another option. But if you really want to have a life that is rich, ennobled, full, in many ways joyous, in some ways really full of wonder, it's available. You know, I mean, it's taken me 50 years of meditating, but I arrived at a place that I find almost indescribable. But it's not unlike being 3 years old. It's just being 3 years old when you're 70. And you just go, wow. That's all it is. Wow. Wow. You start to see what is. You just start to see it. And you start to see it without all of the mind stuff cluttering the way. You just go, wow. And you can't understand it. Trust me, it's so big. There's no way to understand what this is. There is literally no way. It is the mystery of mysteries. But it is. It is. That's all I know. It is. And you are one with what is. That's an amazing thing. Trust me, you want to get to 70 and have that rather than my friend Mark's father saying at the age of 95 when he realized he was dying, why me, God? You know, you don't want to get there. It's you, God, because we're all here temporarily. We're all here manifested for a short time. We don't know how long. And that fact that we're manifested is the miracle of miracles. It is the miracle of miracles. Ask my granddaughter. 3 years old and in a state of absolute thrill at being alive. My 10-week-old grandson, Elijah, he has discovered other people. He has discovered eyes, noses, lips, ears. He giggles if you touch him on the nose and touch your own nose, and he realizes we both have them. He doesn't get it, but he knows it's amazing. That's how we can live. We can all live that way. That's why we meditate. That's why we come here to let go and unravel and free ourselves of all the stuff that brought us to where we are, which is good stuff. It's right. We should be who we are. Now we undo it and go back to simplicity. And at some point, God willing, your whole personality, your whole mindset gets blown out the window. It may happen while you're still walking on this earth. It may happen as you're leaving the earth. But trust me, at some point, it all gets blown away and you get brought back to what you've always been, which is pure presence. Pure, absolute, divine presence. That is who you are. Whether you know it directly or you just suspect it, you are that. And it's waiting to remind you of that. So that's the journey. Getting to now is letting go, not holding on. Letting go to what already is, not trying to get to somewhere, because you're there. You are free as a bird. And Elizabeth, today, you and I don't know if you had the exact same experience, but there was a real flight taking place. It was beyond, beyond, beyond. It was so beautiful. And you know, we all have wings. We all have wings. Any questions? I always talk people into dumb silence. Okay, if you have questions later, feel free to ask. And as I say, you can always write me, call me 24/7 about spiritual concerns.
Question?
Yes.
So all these children died, and people and passengers on airplanes. How do you suggest we respond to that? You know, we send prayers. We feel sorrow. We feel shock.
I think you feel what you feel. You know, I mean, truly, it's in God's hands. It's, you know, you don't have to be an intermediary between them and God. Honestly, I don't believe. I mean, people like prayer, and it makes them feel good, and it you commune with God, and I think that's wonderful. You know, you talk to the universe, and you express your concerns, but the universe is wise beyond our understanding. They just make me so aware, each one of these kids, of how lucky my next breath is. And I thank them for that. And I'm sorry they don't get the next breath. On the other hand, I believe in an infinite, ongoing universe. You know, this is tricky, because loss at that dimension for the parents, the brothers and sisters, the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents, and the children themselves is so enormous that the only thing that comes out of that, and I know this from people who've lost people at that level, if they can get rid of the bitterness, the anger, and the hostility, and all the stuff that goes along with that often, it's a path, direct path to God. It's a path to God that most of us don't understand. And I have been with people, and I sit with them, and they are as awake to human life as any people I've ever met, ever. They have gone through the worst human journey possible, the ones who survive. And those who are lucky, who really work it, find a level of truth and connection to a depth that most of us can't even aspire to, because they're led there by that journey. What happens to the people who actually go prematurely? You know, I believe in an infinite universe of great compassion and great love, and I think that things recycle, come back, change in ways. What I really believe, based on my own experience, is that what you go to when you leave this world, no matter how perfect and lovely your life is in this world, what you go to is so beyond your expectation, so knockout, beautiful, wonderful, amazing, that it's okay. It's just okay. I mean, it's beyond okay. So I this is projection on some level and a little bit experience, but I do think to not be touched by it, to not interact with that at all, is to deprive yourself of some kind of exposure that I think is meaningful to all of us. We're a shared being. I don't know how real that is for most of us, but we are one being, and parts of us are being born and parts of us are being dying all the time. Some of us in pain, many of us in pain, coming in and going out, there's somehow that constriction that happens. It's not pleasurable. But it seems to be a price one pays for manifestation and a price one pays for unmanifestation. Again, I believe we're welcomed into something very beautiful when we leave the world, and I have a feeling if you're lucky, when you come into the world, it's a blessing as well. It's an opportunity to know this. You know, I don't know what more to say about it. Some people go, yuck, who wants this? I'm not one of those people. I was when I was young. I used to suffer like mad, but I'm not that person anymore. And part of the joy of a life of seeking is that you actually can find. Anyone else? Okay, guys, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.